The Supreme Court has okayed an election map in Alabama that a lower court had rejected because of racial gerrymandering. In a 5-4 decision yesterday, a conservative majority of the court approved Alabama's request to let the map stand, at least for now. Only one of the state's 7 congressional districts is majority black, even though the state's population is more than a quarter black. Guy Uriel Charles has been following this. He teaches election law at Harvard Law School. Professor Charles, welcome.
Thank you.
So just to understand this case, a lower court had ordered Alabama to redraw districts to comply with the voting rights law. What was the violation according to the lower court?
According to the lower court, what Alabama did is it packed the majority of the state's black voters into one district and then also distributed the rest of the black voters into other districts. So what the plaintiffs then said is, hey, you are violating our rights by not giving us enough representation. And the district court agreed with the plaintiffs and said, yes, under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, you violated the rights of the plaintiffs and you should allow them 2 districts as opposed to 1.
Now, the Supreme Court in this 5-4 decision put that map on hold and, you know, said that the existing map could be used in 2022. In these emergency cases, I gather, there often is no majority opinion. So what can we glean about the thinking of the Supreme Court majority here?
Sure. So what happened is that the defendants asked for a stay stopping the lower court's decision. On the basis of current existing law, the best argument is that the defendants weren't entitled to a stay because there's nothing that the lower court did that was wrong. So the lower court properly applied the law and then decided that the plaintiffs are entitled to prevail. But what happened is that the 5 justices on the Supreme Court granted the defendants motion to stop the lower court's order from going into effect. So in practical terms, this really means 2 things. First, it means that Alabama can use the current map. And if you're like the district court and you believe that the current map is discriminatory, so it means that Alabama will violate the rights of the plaintiffs sanctioned by the United States Supreme Court. What it also means, maybe even more importantly, is that the court has Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and its crosshairs. So there are 2 particular concerns, one that is immediate with this upcoming election and what's going on in Alabama, and then the larger one is what does this mean for voting rights going forward before the Supreme Court.
I see. And the Supreme Court already threw out a key provision in 2013 relating to Section 5, right? There's a broader question of this law.
That's correct. So what the court did, Sections 4 and 5, the court said that section that covers which states have a history of discrimination and therefore ought to preclear their laws. So the court already sidelined that provision. That left really Section 2. And it looks like now the court is going to put this case on its docket and eventually decide the constitutionality of Section 2. So there's a pretty decent probability that the court is going to sideline Section 2 as well. So what this case tells us is, I mean, you have even a dissent from Chief Justice Roberts saying, hey, we don't have to think about this question right now. The lower court did the right thing. We will have an opportunity to decide these issues on the merits. So even Chief Justice Roberts wouldn't have granted the stay because he believes that there will be an opportunity to face up to these questions later on and to decide whether the law that governs Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act is constitutional. And more than likely, the court will find that it isn't, and that's the biggest worry of all.
And finally, Professor Charles, are there implications for congressional maps for this gerrymandering question in other states? A lot of states have redrawn their lines based on the 2020 census, and many are being contested now in Texas, Ohio, North Carolina, Georgia.
That's correct. There are implications. This sends a signal to state lawmakers that they can pack Black voters into districts, or they can crack them and dilute their voting power without really having to worry so much that the court is going to strike them down. And in fact, what it seems, if we read the tea leaves correctly, and I may be wrong in reading the tea leaves, but the probability is that the court will say that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act is no longer constitutional, which then allows the states to engage and vote in racial vote dilution without the protections of the Voting Rights Act.
That's Guy Uriel Charles, professor at Harvard Law School. Professor Charles, thank you for the time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.